Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, you want that to go?
For our first takeout, we go to Washington, and the star of the new Takeaway podcast, Power Players, Todd Zwillick, joins us. You can actually subscribe to his new All Things Washington podcast by going to thetakeaway.org and clicking on podcast. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning, John.
Oh, so you got a new gig, huh?
Yeah, podcast star. It's so 2010, isn't
it? It's totally 2010. But anyway, so we have a recess in Congress, which means we have recess appointments by the White House. First of all, I guess we got 15 names here and there. This is how we do things now. We appoint by recess appointments, not the old advise and consent.
Well, that's right. Plenty of advice and consent still goes on. But, you know, the recess appointment is in the Constitution so that the president, if Congress is out of town, you know, in the old days when Congress was on recess, they were far-flung.
Well, they used to ride horses in the old days, so they were out of town a lot.
Right. You couldn't get them back quickly if you needed to. In an emergency, the president might need an appointee. Well, it has become a tit-for-tat between the White House and the Senate that on long recesses, usually once a year, any, you know, controversial nominees can be recess appointed by the president, and it's just a way to circumvent the Senate. In this case, these recess appointments that have been made seems to be just a way to circumvent Republicans in the Senate, because Democrats who are in control now were pretty happy about this latest round because the president backed them up.
Well, among the circumvented Republicans is Senator Lamar Alexander, who's carping pretty heavily over on CNN over the weekend.
What the president has done here is throw fuel on the fire at a time when the debate about politics is a very angry debate to begin with.
But in fact, Todd Zwillick, this is how it's done now.
Yeah, it's often how it's done, but this is all about timing. And Senator Alexander is right about one thing. Nerves are very, very raw in the Senate right now. They were raw before health care started, and they're especially raw now because of reconciliation, because Republicans didn't like the bill. They didn't like the strategy that was used to pass it. And now, the moment they leave, the president recess appoints 15 people, one of whom, this guy Craig Becker for the National Labor Relations Board, they really didn't like because of his stance on unions. And what's a bigger flashpoint between Republicans and Democrats than union issues? So this really was a show, I think, when you look at the timing of the president saying, hey, I've got a big victory under my belt, I'm not to be messed with, and I am willing to do this. I also think it's prelude to some bigger fights that are coming. Justice John Paul Stevens, the oldest justice on the Supreme Court, is getting ready to retire. We don't know when. That's going to be a fight, and you show muscle going into a fight like that you're not going to back down.
But in the middle of this fight, before we go, I mean, the TSA, the Transportation Safety Administration, has no one running it. I mean, the guy who withdrew his nomination had his own problems, but for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, no, that's true. And, you know, you could see the president recess appoint somebody for the TSA and probably get away with it in the near future. But they're still fighting over that one. This really has become, ever since the Clinton administration, maybe a little bit before, kind of a tit for tat. The one last thing I'll tell you, it's interesting. You know, the White House could have done 20, 25, 30 recess appointments. They chose to do 15, which is the exact same number that George Bush did to the Democratic Congress at this time in his presidency.
Tit for tat. That's exactly what it's about. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks.
And it's Duke's turn to return to the Final Four. West Virginia goes to the Final Four.
Michigan State is back in the Final Four.
And that's it. Butler going back to Indiana.
Okay, so we have our Final Four, and with us is Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our sports contributor, to let us know what happened over the weekend. We just heard it. Butler, Michigan State, Duke, and West Virginia all in the Final Four. That's not exactly the Final Four we expected, is it, Ibrahim?
I don't think it's the Final Four that anyone expected across the country. A couple interesting points. West Virginia, in beating Kentucky 73-66, they're the first time in the Final Four since 1959. Who was the leader of that team in 1959? Jerry West.
Oh,
so that's an interesting stat about West Virginia. Butler Bulldogs, they've won 24 in a row. You want to come into the playoffs on a winning streak and you want to peak at the right time. Out of all the teams that's playing amazing basketball, Butler has that push behind them. So they're sort of writing their own Hoosier story right now.
They made Kansas State play their game. Butler did.
And
it
Kansas State was exhausted from the overtime game against Xavier. So I think, you know, Dennis Clemente, who was playing great for Xavier, for Kansas State, was beat down. So, I mean, there was some backstory there to how they played.
But there were two teams that played amazing basketball all year long, and that was Kansas and Kentucky, the number one and number two seeds.
And I think the other thing here, well, Kentucky, and I think that goes back to the point of peaking at the right time.
Right.
For example, Duke is peaking at the right time. Coach K knows how to prepare his players to perform at the highest level at this point in the season. Same thing with Tom Izzo from Michigan State. All those players, they were kind of under the radar all season, and they performed at the highest level when it mattered the most.
He just reached in there and grabbed that game in the last four
Literally.
Minutes against Baylor.
So, Ibrahim, you kind of think that there's a kind of a shared common character between all these four teams, right?
I do think so. I think that one of the key elements is that they have senior leadership. You can't. I mean, look at Kentucky. Kentucky had a bunch of freshmen, probably the most talented bunch in the whole tournament. Four of them will probably go in the first round of the NBA draft, but they didn't have what it took at the end of the game to know what how to end and how to win and how to finish.
So, you know, all this week we're doing our series on education, and one of the things that's come out during this NCAA tournament is this disparity between races in terms of graduation rates, which is huge.
And I've heard about this, and the Education Secretary Arne Duncan, he's asking that students that don't graduate, at least 40% of their student athletes, be banned from postseason play, and I actually support that.
You do?
I do.
Okay, because it turns out in this study that there's a huge disparity between the number of white players that graduate and the number of black players, and this is an issue we're going to have to look more into later on, but we'll be watching the Final Four games with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. He's our Takeaway Sports contributor. How's your bracket doing, Ibrahim?
Ooh, my bracket is basically done. It's over.
I think the whole country says. Thanks so much, Ibrahim.
Good morning.